We are back, episode 2 of Movie Hopping, Adam Hall, Nico DiGregorio. It's our new web series talking about flicks. Adam, we made it.
Yeah, we got to number 2.
We got to number 2.
We're trucking along here, guys.
We finally got our number 2 out. It was great. It was we were having problems for a couple of weeks, and now we're here. Took a nice laxative. It just sort of, we eased our way right through it. It took a little bit of trying, took a little bit of force, but we did it. It's a weird rant to start on. This is, again, our movie show. It's been a lot of fun. Last week we did Alien, or 2 weeks ago, and we've committed to this project now for 2 episodes. Today we're talking the Woman of Wonder, the Gallish Godot, the Wonder Woman.
Oh, that's who you're talking about.
Yeah.
Oh, I was confused there for a second.
Yeah, no, I'm talking about Wonder Woman. That's the movie we're talking about today. And Adam, let's get right to it. Oh. Talk to me.
It was good.
That's all you got?
Yeah, it was
That's
good.
Literally all you got.
That's it. I'm done. Okay.
Funny, that's all I got too. Here's the thing. There's a couple of conversations to get to, and we'll get there. I have 2 theories, and they could both be true, but at least one of them is true. Okay? And these are theories that explain the 93% that this movie has on Rotten Tomatoes. Okay? This is, I believe, the second highest rated superhero movie of all time on Rotten Tomatoes.
I didn't know that.
I think it's only behind The Incredibles. It is higher rated than The Dark Knight. It is higher rated than any Spider-Man movie, any Batman movie, period.
Where's Logan?
It's higher than Logan. It's higher than... Logan was pretty high, but this is higher than Logan.
Is one of your theories going to offend some people?
It might.
I think it might.
It might. But that's what we're in the nature doing here. 2 theories. One has to be true,
yeah.
Okay? It's either A, incredibly low expectations made critics pleasantly surprised with this movie, or 2, critics are afraid to criticize a movie about a female superhero. And this whole feminist shit has – and I don't want to get too, like, on my soapbox conservative here, but it is quite convenient, I think.
Yeah.
That the first movie starring a superhero directed by a female director is getting so much critical admiration, even though it's not that great. And if we're being honest with ourselves, we can praise the movie all we want. It's not that great.
I wouldn't call it a great film. I didn't love it. It's not one of those movies where I came out of it and I was like, oh, I gotta buy that movie, because that's kind of my standard now. If I love the movie that much, I call it a buyer. It's mm-hmm. kind of like, you know, The Martian. When I came out of that, it's like, well, I gotta buy that movie, or Mad Max Fury Road,
mm-hmm.
because those are great films, Mad Max in particular. But this was a perfectly good, solid summer action film, and it was a pleasant surprise coming off of Batman v Superman and Suicide Squad, which we could talk in probably greater detail on.
Mm-hmm.
But you know, I'm. Do you think it's the I don't know, is it right to call it the social justice
the social justice effect?
The effect, yeah.
Yes, the social justice ripple that is taking over Hollywood one classic comic book character at a time. That's what it is. Listen, your prerogative to do it. Like, I don't like talking about politics in movies. I don't. The my love for movies makes it pure, in my opinion, and so the idea of putting politics into there and adding this whole other layer to it really bothers me, because I just think that movies are better than politics. And
it's
I don't
a lot better than
politics. Yeah, so I don't want to cross the streams and it's like having like a really pure friend that you just love hanging out with, and you don't want to introduce them to, like, your crazy friends because you feel like it'll corrupt them. Or, like, if you have, like, a good girlfriend that all of a sudden turns bad. You don't want that.
No.
And that's what's happening to movies right now. They are innocent children that are being infected with all of this outside nonsense. And movies are supposed to be an escape from that. Do you know what I mean?
Yes. No, what's a fun little example that I like to use for you know, stuff that kind of pisses me off when I see. What's a movie that came out recently? I'm trying to think.
Well, in fairness, your beloved Mad Max is that. But I found Mad Max.
The thing about Mad Max is that it doesn't really seem concerned with that. Even George Miller said that he didn't really think of that making it. He's just like, no, I just kind of felt like telling this story. And when I watch it, it doesn't really feel that way to me. It doesn't seem as concerned with it.
Okay.
The way I put it is that it kind of empowers the women without emasculating the men, which is great to me. I love that about the film. And that's, to me, if you're going to tackle those subjects anyway, that's the way to do it.
Okay. I see what you're saying.
Whereas, like, Ghostbusters is just a piece of shit.
In fairness, though, this one, being Wonder Woman, does not necessarily emasculate the men.
No, exactly. And that's the other thing I liked about it, too. It didn't feel as concerned. You know, I feel like, you know, a real conservative prick saying this, but it doesn't seem as concerned with setting up some, you know, like a, like, feminist agenda. I hate saying that. But,
yes.
But it
doesn't.
Don't
you hate the word agenda?
Yeah.
All of a sudden you're Alex Jones.
So against my character, too. It's
yes.
Just, it's not, no. No. Mm-mm.
You don't have to defend yourself. You can be a Nazi conservative. That's fine. We'll accept you for it.
I'm secretly a Nazi conservative.
They all are.
There it is, guys.
They all are.
I just had to do it.
Yep. We all are. No, and I don't even think that this movie is too concerned with feminist themes,
no.
If I'm being totally honest with you.
I think
in a bubble, it's not that. I just think that the larger sort of critical consensus on this has been, this is a movie directed by a female about a female, and so therefore we have to praise it. And I actually don't like the fact that it's given a pass for that, or that's getting brownie points for its feminist undertones, as subtle as they may be. Because I think, like, you can judge this movie on its own, and it has its merits on its own.
Absolutely.
I just think that, I mean, I find myself not getting excited for stuff like this anymore.
It's hard to separate yourself from these subjects in our, you know, media environment. Because in today's culture, especially in the wake of the, you know, the last election, we're not going to get into that.
No, but it's true.
But you know, it's hard to avoid these themes.
It's true. No, 100%. And it's now, like, every time there's an all-powerful character that has a personality, he's automatically like a Donald Trump surrogate. That's all of art now. It's like, how has the Trump era affected this season of House of Cards? Well, maybe House of Cards is just a show about a fictional president that kills people.
Maybe it's based off of the Clinton family.
Yeah.
Because it actually is based off of the Clinton family.
It might be. No, but it's like, this is happening, like, even like, I don't know, David Lynch gets asked about Twin Peaks, how that's affected by the Trump era. And it's like, why?
I would love to hear how David Lynch would respond to that.
Right, but he has nothing to say. No, I'm saying this is everything now. I find this being, because I read a lot of film criticism and a lot of television stuff as well, a lot of writing about pop culture, you tend to see the same questions pop up over and over again. And one of them is, how has the new political climate affected your art? And for some of these people, it's like, we do the art to avoid the political culture. We don't do it to reflect the political culture, you know? And the pressure to do so is kind of annoying. I will say, and it's not fair, because to take, you know, again, we're kind of being hypocritical by talking about the context behind Wonder Woman and not actually talking about Wonder Woman.
Yeah.
But it is a fine movie.
Yeah.
I think just we shouldn't bury the lead by saying DC finally made a pretty good movie, and that's something. We have to give it credit for that.
It's pretty good.
Right.
It's pretty good. I enjoyed it.
There have been four DC movies.
Yes.
Man of Steel. Batman v Superman: Dawn of Justice, the old Suicide Squad there, and now Wonder Woman, and they're 1-for-3, which I guess should be news, but I find myself getting very unexcited for it.
And I mean, maybe that's just part of the fact that because you can resort to the other topic of discussion. It's just another superhero film,
right?
It's like I have trouble getting excited for a lot of superhero films now. Even Logan, I wasn't very excited for it, other than the fact that, oh my god, it's a rated R Wolverine movie.
Now, Logan was great.
Okay,
though,
but then
Logan
it
was great.
Yeah, Logan was amazing.
Yeah,
but that's the thing. You have to be kind of extraordinary to really, you know, move me now. Mm-hmm. It's not that I was unmoved by Wonder Woman. There were plenty of things in the movie that worked very well for me, but you know, it's. But at the end of the day, it's fine.
Does this change anything in terms of the course of where DC is going?
What do you mean?
Like, is this a good sign for DC Studios? Is this like, are they, is this, because here's the thing, they did correct a lot of the problems that I think Batman v Superman had, although it also carried over some of its problems.
Sure.
I do think this is a more humanistic approach to the material.
This movie, to me anyway, I don't know how you feel about this, but to me this movie actually has a heart.
Mm-hmm.
And that's more than I can say about both, I mean, I guess all of the other three movies that came before, particularly Batman v Superman and Suicide Squad.
Sure.
Yeah.
So. Which I have not seen, by the way. I have still, I have boycotted that movie, and I am very proud of myself for not seeing it. I can still say to this day I haven't seen it yet. I haven't caved in.
That's the worst of the three.
Is it really? Wow. Man of Steel I remember not liking. But I remember thinking, eh, you know, could be worse.
Yes, exactly.
And it was worse in Batman v Superman. And so I find it hard to believe that you can get it even worse with Suicide Squad. But that's what I hear.
It's kind of fascinating, honestly.
Why?
With how bad it is?
Yeah.
Because I wouldn't have thought that it would have been worse than Batman v Superman. Batman v Superman is horrible. It was one of the worst films I had seen in 2016. And when I first saw it, I was kind of baffled. I couldn't believe what I was watching. And I was surprised that they released this movie.
Mm-hmm.
But I was like, okay. And then when I sat on it for like a day, I was like, wow, that was not good. But and I was like, no movie could get worse than that. And then, of course, I was introduced to Suicide Squad. And that's a collection of just scenes.
Right. With good actors.
With terrible editing and terrible performances.
They're terrible performances, huh?
They're not that great.
How do you get terrible performances out of...
They're caricatures.
But they are... three top 30 actors in that movie? There are like three top 30 actors that we have right now in that movie.
I guess, yeah.
Right? Margot Robbie.
Will Smith.
Definitely Will Smith.
And
Viola Davis. Right?
I think that's it.
What do you mean that's it? There's three top 30 actors in that movie.
I know a few more actors in that movie.
Who else is in it?
Like Cara Delevingne.
Nah, not her.
But she's not. No, I don't really like
her.
Well,
Jared Leto's not there. We know that.
Jared Leto, the Oscar winner Jared Leto.
Oscar winning, yes, Academy Award winner Jared Leto. Yeah. No, but that's the thing about that. There are... And I say the same thing about the X-Men movies whenever they make a bad X-Men movie. I'm like, how is it possible that you have this much talent and it's produced that much shit? But it's like Suicide Squad. Tom Hardy was supposed to be in Suicide Squad.
That's right.
Like, they pitched those guys. I'm like, this is going to be like a different approach to superheroes. And it wasn't, evidently.
No, it wasn't.
Wow.
Not at all. I think it's weird. I've never seen a movie where the editing like kills the film. The editing in that movie is... Honestly, it's one of the core reasons as to why the movie is so bad, which is amazing to me. How hard is it to find a good editor to make your movie?
I wouldn't know. I have no experience with editing. All right. But anyway, the thing about Wonder Woman is, and this is just automatic, if you make a movie, it's going to be better than the last two. Because Wonder Woman is actually a movie, and the other two weren't really movies. Yeah.
It's hard to go lower than where we were with Suicide Squad. That's the thing. It's kind of right. Like, thinking about it now, it's like, well, I guess they could have only gone up.
Right.
You know?
Right. And Batman v Superman was just a two-hour trailer. Yeah. And
well,
so
was Suicide Squad. Suicide Squad was, I would almost argue that that's exactly what it is.
So by virtue of the fact that this is... A complete story with a beginning, middle, and end, and an arc, and characters that hang out and talk and do stuff.
Yeah.
Like, already we're doing better. So that's sort of the lower expectations, right?
Yeah.
We did not expect that coherent of a narrative.
No, exactly.
And that's what we got here.
And I told you this coming out of the movie. I was like, Nico, there's actually a big part of me that almost wanted to hate the movie, seriously.
Mm-hmm.
But the fact that I didn't, the fact that I ended up coming out and saying, you know what, I kind of like that, is actually sort of impressive. With how low my expectations actually were.
Mm-hmm.
So I kind of got to give the film props for that. So
that's good. That's fine. Yeah. I did like some of the performances, actually. I thought Gal Gadot was fine. I don't know why there's all this hype surrounding her. Like, there's a little... I don't know. All of a sudden, we're, like, declaring her the next Betty Davis or something, and I'm not okay with that.
Yeah.
You know?
She's no Linda Carter.
Well, we know that. We know she's no Linda Carter. She's stunning. Don't get me wrong.
She's hideous.
I can't tell if this is a joke or not. You've said this five times, and it sounds like you're being serious. Like, at first I was like, it's a good joke. But now five times in, I'm a little concerned.
It's because, it is a joke. It's just because I'm hiding my true feelings for Gal Gadot, because I'm in love with this woman.
Oh, no.
She's just...
Did she have a better performance in this or in the Fast and Furious movies?
I've seen six, so.
How was she in six? She was pretty good in six.
She's probably better in six.
When she died in six, spoiler alert, I shed a single tear. Her and Han's romance was one of the great romances in the history of cinema. It was like,
the history of cinema.
Yeah.
Of cinema.
Yeah, it was like Casablanca all over again. It was pretty great.
Okay.
No, I thought she was good in this. It's weird. I never take her seriously when she's fighting, right? Okay. There's something about the way that she stands, like a model, because she is a model originally. And she has this thing with her shoulders where she's like...
She kind of pushes out.
Push it out, her cleavage a little bit, and like trying to like... So, and she fights like that. And it's not even like a purposeful sexy. It's just like, I'm like this because I've been taught how to stand like this. So I don't necessarily buy her as like the...
You just find that distracting?
Yes. Okay. I find her distracting ultimately. I find her distracting when she's in front of my eyes because I can't focus in on anything else.
It's this pose. I like that pose.
No, I think this pose is great. I just don't know if the center of mass here makes it... If I'm fighting a god, you know, I don't know if this is the way that I would fight him. That's all I'm saying.
Okay.
You know?
Sure. That's not what I was thinking when I was watching her. I was like, well, that's an interesting stance.
Ultimately, I found her pretty charming, though. I thought she was pretty charming.
Oh, yeah. I completely agree. That's one of the things I liked about it, is that I think Gal Gadot... Is it Gal Gadot?
Gal Gadot.
I think it's Gadot.
It's not Gadot.
I think it's Gadot. Gadot's we're going to have this fucking argument again on the names, Nico.
No.
We can't do this again.
Yeah, no, we'll do it. No, it's Gal Gadot. It's Gadot. It's Gal Gadot.
It's Mads Mikkelsen.
Mads.
It's Mads fucking Mikkelsen.
Yeah. Yeah.
And it's Gal Gadot.
Where are you getting Gadot from? She's Israeli, isn't she?
Yes. It's Gadot.
Do they have hard T's in Israeli?
Do they have hard O's in Israel?
Where the name Gadot though is of
sounds
what
French
origin?
To me.
It does sound French.
I think it's Gadot.
I don't think they pronounce it Gadot though.
I think it's Gadot.
I think if you asked a Frenchman to pronounce Gal Gadot's name, I think he would say Gal Gadot.
I think it's Gadot. I think you're wrong. Well, I think
I'll keep saying Gadot and you keep saying Gadot and we'll just carry on, man, because that's what America's all about.
Not Israel though.
Israel. There's one way or the highway. That's it. No, I thought she was fine. I was impressed by Chris Pine, actually, in this movie. I thought he was really charming.
Yeah, no, everyone is very charismatic in this film. And, you know, they everyone has their own scenes of you know, some good levity, which is great, which is, you know, a huge step up from anything in Batman v Superman.
Sure.
So, yeah, it's a well-rounded, fairly dynamic film tonally in those regards, and it's satisfying. So, yeah, it's very nice to finally see this in a movie about superhumans.
Right.
It's a little ridiculous, so, you know.
No, and there were scenes like, for example, in the second act of the movie where, you know, Chris Pine and Wonder Woman are dancing. And they end up having sex at the end of the evening. And it's just like, oh, they get to just like hang out and do human things.
Yes.
And that's just something that Batman v Superman, that giant clusterfuck orgy of an action movie, didn't have time for. I mean, it's just as simple as that. I mean, it's just taking the time to just let your characters hang out and be people.
Yeah.
And ultimately, that's what it was. I thought a little bit of it was butchered along the way. I thought the exposition was particularly sloppy and... Yeah. At the end, we'll talk about it as we get into spoilers at the second half of this little break we're about to do.
Yeah.
But ultimately, yes, this was a complete story. And we'll get into the specifics, but at the end of the day, a complete story is better than no story at all.
Yeah.
And that's what Wonder Woman was. So I guess credit to them. Right?
Yeah, absolutely.
Adam, you ready to talk spoilers?
Yes.
Okay. We're going to take a little break, and then we're going to get into spoiler talk. If you haven't seen Wonder Woman, turn this off right now. Then come back to us later, and you'll get to know our thoughts. This is Movie Hopping. All right, spoilers. Exposition-wise, what were your thoughts on this movie? Let's go, because there are three distinct acts in this, and let's take this one by one. So the first 45 minutes.
And just talking about what what actually happened. What do you mean exposition-wise? Like how it's just laid out for us?
Yeah. Well, the first third of this movie, they are on an island called what? An island in the middle of nowhere. The Amazonian woman.
It's the island for the Amazonian woman.
Right.
Yeah.
Right.
Ruled by Hippolyta.
Right.
Because I know a little bit of mythology and shit like that.
Tell me more about it. I'm dying to know.
That's all I know. Okay. But no. And they've, let's see. What happened? There was, Hippolyta is explaining it to Wonder Woman because her daughter is Wonder Woman. God, I'm bad at plot synopses, man.
Well, no. Ultimately, here's what happens. Wonder Woman's little girl, she starts running around the island and starts doing this because she likes to fight because she's a badass warrior. And this is how you show that a woman can be strong, sure. Just like a man can. Hi-ya! That's all it basically was. I was rolling my eyes during this entire thing.
It was cute.
Okay. Robin Wright is cast in this movie for 5 minutes. We get five minutes of Robin Wright. 10 minutes of Robin Wright, maybe.
Sure.
Right? She is the aunt to Wonder Woman, and she dies after Chris Pine and a bunch of German soldiers arrive on the shores of their island. Mm-hmm. I find it unlikely that – so okay. What's the logic of this island is what? Zeus created it and put like a little dome over it that shields it from the outside world.
Yes.
If you just cross that dome, you get right in there.
Yeah. I guess it's supposed to be that the because it was all fogged up on the outside, like it was like fake fog, like Skull Island or something. And you never go anywhere near this island because if you sail into the fog or you fly into the fog, you're dead, right? I guess that was the logic. I don't know why you wouldn't have just put like an actual like glass dome over it, you know, right?
Sure.
A giant glass dome.
Or how about your Zeus? You don't put him on Earth.
That's true.
How about you put him somewhere else in your entire universe?
Because they have to defend Earth, right?
No, why? They're not defending Earth, though.
Yeah, but, it, you know, they're like a contingency plan in case shit goes wrong.
It doesn't seem like they want to defend Earth. I mean, like, Chris Pine comes up and is like, there's a great war going on. And they're like, no, we're good.
Well, they don't want to fight if they don't have to.
Wonder Woman, like, you got
this. It's like, you know, it's like America in World War II, you know.
There was only one woman that ended up doing any of the fighting.
True.
The rest of them just sort of hung back. Yeah. So I guess the thing was they were waiting for Ares to come back.
Yes.
And then these Amazonian women were going to defend Ares and kill him.
Yes.
Right? With their god-killer weapon.
Essentially.
Who turns out to be Wonder Woman all along.
I saw that coming.
What a trope that was.
I was like, nah, I saw that coming.
I hated this first 45 minutes of the movie. I just felt like I'm sick of origin stories, and I don't want any more of them.
I get that.
There's just something about the structure of an origin story that bothers me.
It didn't bother me for a while. I liked it in the very first Spider-Man movie. It was fun.
Yeah, well, that was also 17 years ago. That was before any...
I'm always citing the first Spider-Man
movie. No, you're citing it as though, like, it's a new thing. It's not.
It's not.
You know, that is... We are so far down the river with these things. It's like it's... These things are no longer just... stories for the screen. They're no longer just we're going to make a movie and it happens to be about a superhero. Yeah. These are giant world-building, corporately owned entities. You know, it's like they're like monopolies. You know, and they just sort of control the entire industry. So it was novel 17 years ago, but now this is just all right. We have to pound out this origin story so we can get to more Wonder Woman stories in this universe. Yeah. You know,
It's been a while since I've seen an origin story that I actually enjoyed.
Thank you.
Bless you.
Thank you. Thank you for that.
Okay, where was I at? No. I kind of enjoyed the... maybe I didn't. I was going to cite Deadpool. It was okay.
His
little origin. It's more fun because there's another spin on that with how self-referential he is, but that's about it.
I suppose. So. But ultimately, I just wanted Deadpool to do Deadpool things.
Which he does, for the most part.
I suppose.
You have some mixed feelings on Deadpool.
I do.
That's okay.
I do. I thought the first third of this movie was particularly weak. Once the story started getting going and we got that dynamic between Chris Pine and Gal Gadot, because they do have great chemistry on screen.
I do agree.
I thought the movie just took it to another gear.
Yeah.
That whole second half with sort of them and their ragtag group of soldiers fighting in the war, I just thought was just a delightful World War I movie. you know?
Yeah, exactly. No, I completely agree. It was nice, and it's didn't always feel as much like a superhero film at times.
Right.
That's important, at times. And especially the World War I stuff, which I thought was actually very well done. And yeah, and like you said, the dynamic between Chris Pine and Gal Gadot is I can't sit every time I say her name now. I'm just not going to say Gal Gadot. I'm just going to say Wonder Woman.
Call her Gal. You're on a first name basis.
That's true.
You two seem like you've been very comfortable with one another.
Oh yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
You tend to know her last name. You know exactly how it's pronounced. Just call her Gal.
Yeah.
What a name. Gal.
Gal.
Wonder Woman starring Gal.
Wonder Woman starring Broad.
Yeah. It's Lady. That's her name. How about that group of friends? Some really good like character actors that we haven't seen in a while. Yeah. Spud from Trainspotting.
Yeah, well, we saw him pretty recently.
We just saw him this year in T2 Trainspotting.
Yeah.
The other guy who is in a lot of things, and I'm blanking on what he's from.
The short comedian guy?
Yeah, what is he from?
I don't know. I recognize him, but I had no idea what else he was from.
He was in a bunch of other things. The Native American guy I didn't recognize.
No.
Okay. Let's talk about the villains in this movie. Another villain problem, I think.
It's been... Okay. I don't know how long it's been since I've seen a superhero film that actually has a good villain.
Yes.
Maybe the first Avengers. I kind of like Loki.
I think he is by default the best villain in the Marvel movies. And that is saying something if Loki is the best villain in your Marvel movies.
And I don't love Loki either. That's the thing. Everyone fucking loves him. I'm like, yeah, he's good. That's about it. So, I mean, ever since like Heath Ledger's Joker, you know, I haven't been really impressed with like a villain in any superhero film. I mean, Guardians of the Galaxy 2 was... interesting. I'll put it like that.
Okay.
So, the gold people's kind of sucked, but the actual villain is, you know, somewhat entertaining.
And by the way, that's going to be a hard sort of tightrope act for Marvel to walk here because they have to somehow make Thanos very compelling, or else their entire three-part like universe building exercise is going to be for nothing.
With the next Avengers film?
Yeah, with the next couple of like this is all. I mean, they have teased us so much with Thanos. It's like now if he is not like, who's the best villain in movies? I don't know. If he is literally not the Joker, it's going to be a disappointment, you know?
If he's not, I don't know, Darth Vader from Empire Strikes Back.
Right, right. Yeah. That's exactly, because it's, or actually a better example is the Emperor, right?
Sure.
We had three movies teasing the Emperor's arrival, and he does not disappoint in episode 6. Like, he just starts shooting lightning out of his fingers, and you're horrified by him.
Yeah.
You know? If they're not able to do that with Thanos, it's going to be a real letdown, I think. I think a lot of that hinges on Josh Brolin, right? Is that who's playing Thanos? I think so,
it's
right?
An interesting pick.
Sure.
I don't know. Who's writing those movies, anyway?
I believe the brain trust of the Russo brothers and others.
Okay.
Right? Who I don't particularly care for, if I'm being honest.
Yeah, no,
with you.
I didn't care for. I haven't cared so much for what they've done. I kind of like Winter Soldier, but
I really like Winter Soldier.
Yeah, but I didn't. Yeah, I didn't care too much for Civil War.
Yeah,
it was fine.
Yeah,
again, fine.
Yeah. And so I mean, the villains in this are a little weird. So William Stryker's in this movie, right? Is that his name in X-Men? Stryker. Is it William Stryker?
Same character, yeah.
Right.
I don't know the actor's name.
No, but William Stryker's in this movie. I found that very distracting. I'm like, oh, the bad guy in here is the bad guy from the last three X-Men movies.
Yeah.
Yeah. I didn't like that. I didn't like how they... Why... You're really confusing me here. And I'm also sick of seeing this guy because I never liked his character in X-Men.
Sure. It's a weird criticism to draw from.
No, seriously. It's weird. I don't know why we're... It's like casting Heath Ledger as another villain.
Okay.
You know? Don't do it.
That guy's not that typecast, though.
Oh, he's... What do you mean? He's definitely typecast. He is typecast as... Wait a minute.
What else was he in? Besides Stryker.
Wait a minute. You're telling me evil general in a superhero movie is not a very particular casting choice?
No. That actor is what I'm saying.
Well, I'm saying he's been in now two very prominent superhero movies.
Okay.
Actually, multiple prominent superhero movies where he plays an evil general.
Was one of those X-Men Origins Wolverine?
Yes, yes.
So it doesn't matter.
Where he's doing, no, where he's doing weird experiments on people with mad scientists.
Okay.
Right? That's his thing.
That's what you jumped to thinking of X-Men Origins Wolverine.
I found it distracting.
You haven't wiped that movie from your memory?
Nope, it is living in my head for the rest. You know, and it's, by the way, not the worst superhero movie. We've discussed this.
Oh, yeah, because X3 is worse.
There are redeemable qualities about X-Men Origins Wolverine. I just found it very distracting that he was in it.
You just said that there are redeemable qualities to X-Men Origins.
There are. One of them not William Stryker. And one of the redeemable qualities of this movie is also not William Stryker.
I agree with that.
Whatever his character's name is.
Yes.
He had a mad scientist with a mask over her face.
Yeah.
I guess the attempt was to make her sympathetic.
I guess. I have no idea if she was based on anyone real or what. But, yeah, I didn't care for her at all. So.
Have you seen Boardwalk Empire?
No. I have not.
She reminded me of a character from Boardwalk Empire who also has a mask over his face because half of it got burned off.
All right.
And so it was...
Your criticisms are all based on other things you've seen.
Listen, man, I live movies. That's all
So do I.
You know? It's hard to see these things in a bubble.
I guess.
You know?
Yeah.
Bad villains, though, and it all culminates in a particularly horrendous villain played by David Thewlis.
Thewlis? Is that how you say his name?
Thewlis?
Now, I'm not going to argue with you on this one.
I think it's Thewlis.
Okay.
Who...
Professor Lupin from Harry Potter and the Prisoner of Azkaban.
Yes. So. Also, the dude that has been killing it in the new season of Fargo.
He's in the new season
of
Fargo.
He is in Fargo season 3. Oh my God. He's the villain in Fargo season 3.
Oh, wow.
And he is lit in that show. He is having such a good time chewing up scenery with Ewan McGregor.
He is an awesome actor, too.
He is awesome in Fargo. I hated him in this movie. I thought he was horrendous in this movie. Let's just get right to it. So Wonder Woman has fought World War II with World War I with Chris Pine. And they've, you know, they've had a jolly old good time together. They've made fun of the size of Chris Pine's penis, which I was just like rolling my eyes. They had sex. They tried on clothing in a delightful fashion in the middle of London. It was all a jolly old time. And then at the end of the film, they are about to release this poisonous gas on the masses and exterminate mankind. And Gal Gadot has been fighting World War I under the assumption that the Great War is against Ares, the god of war. And he has started this Great War, as Chris Pine describes it. That's the reason why she leaves the island at the beginning of the movie.
Mm-hmm.
And she keeps telling Chris Pine, you know, I'm about to kill Ares. She thinks William Stryker is actually Ares.
Yes.
And ultimately, Chris Pine has to break it to her that, yeah, this was sort of a ruse. There is no Ares. I just sort of brought you along so you could help me. This is all for naught. There's no hero or there's no villain at the end of this story. There's no one person that you can blame all of this on. War is just war.
Yes.
And for a minute there, I was like, all right.
That was kind of interesting.
Right. I can get down to that. Like I can buy that. That's an interesting theme to play around with. Mm-hmm. And because the nature of superhero movies is sort of there is a good guy and a bad guy that you can blame everything on. Mm-hmm. Right. One of the reasons why Dark Knight was great is because it's just chaos for the sake of chaos.
Yes.
You know, the Joker is the villain of that movie, but ultimately it's like...
He's making a point about everybody
right.
in the end.
Everybody's the villain, right? Yeah. Gotham City is the villain. It's the masses. Yeah. And, like, you know, I'm the catalyst, but I am... If you kill me, the evil will still live on.
Yeah.
That's what's fascinating about Nolan's trilogy. Wonder Woman decides to maybe play around with that idea for about 30 seconds before saying at the end of the day, no, David Thewlis' character is Ares the entire time, and now they're going to fight for the fate of mankind.
Yeah. I guess they fuck around with it a little bit because he says, like, well, I wasn't actually controlling these people as if they were puppets or something. I was just giving them some inspiration to do bad shit, and then they just kind of went with it and did their own fucked up thing. So I don't know. I guess it's a little less black and white than that, but...
Okay.
You know.
If you choose to believe that, that's fine.
I don't thoroughly believe that. I don't know.
It was pretty black and white.
Yeah.
It was pretty, like, cliche superhero. And specifically cliche DC Universe.
Sure.
You know, with that end fight scene, which I thought was absurd.
Was it more absurd than Batman v Superman?
No, but it was pretty bad.
Yeah.
It was pretty bad.
The only thing that saved it for me was that there was some emotion behind it, and okay. I did see that, especially when Chris Pine, kills himself.
Yes,
I thought that was actually pretty effective. I like that.
Yeah, that was cool.
So,
they intercut the two scenes. They had Wonder Woman fighting Ares on this airport hangar, or they weren't in the hangar; they were on the runway. Like, I don't know how many other of these modern day action movies. How many of these superhero movies have to be on a fucking airplane runway? Because it seems like it's a lot these days.
I don't know many.
Civil War fought at an airport.
That wasn't the climax, though.
It was a climax.
Sure.
Right?
I guess.
In an airport. Fast 6. On the endless runway, on the infinite runway that never seems to end. They're on the plane for like 20 minutes and they never take off, right?
Yeah.
Well, I guess Die Hard.
Die Hard 2.
It seems like a lot of these are taking place at airports now.
Yeah. Airplane.
Sure, Airplane as well. Yeah. Absolutely.
Great movie.
Yeah. Yes, it was absurd, but they intercut that with Chris Pine on the airplane actually blowing up the poison gas, sacrificing himself for the good of mankind. That was cool. That was effective.
Yeah.
The actual fight, though, between her and Ares was very Zack Snyder. And I found that distracting, that they sort of carried over some of his elements of shooting an action sequence.
Mm-hmm.
It was the CGI was horrible. It was very cartoonish. And this was a sort of whatchamacallit, something that is
a motif?
Motif. There it is. Wow, how'd you come up with that?
Because I have, I'm more articulate than you are.
Fair enough. No, that was sort of a thing throughout the entire movie, a motif. Is the slow motion, Snyder-esque, you know, a lot of, like, sliding under things and a lot of, like, mid-shots. A lot of, like, waist-up mid-shots. They shoot these action sequences in the least interesting ways possible.
Well, he was one of the execs, I believe. So you got to think that he has some influence over how these big set pieces play out.
Yeah.
Right. Which I was thinking about a lot through the film, because Patty Jenkins has she really only ever made Monster?
That's it.
Yeah. So you got to think that she had a little bit of help along the way, especially with those big elaborate action sequences, right?
She's going to err on the side of the professionals, is what you're saying?
Sure.
Okay.
Yeah, that's fair enough. I think a little bit.
Okay. I found that distracting. And again, the end scene, there's this just larger than life fight, and people are flying and buildings are coming down. I don't know. I just found it a kind of disappointing movie or disappointing ending to a movie that I thought was fairly charming.
Yes, I agree.
You know?
It didn't piss me off. It's just like, oh, I guess I saw that last time, is kind of how I thought.
Right.
It's like, but it didn't like bother me. I'm just like, eh.
Right.
You know, I shrug it off. It's the epitome of eh. I love describing movies that way.
Sure. Yeah.
Eh.
All right. Give me the last word on it. We're running out of time here.
It's good.
Nice to see nothing has changed for the last 40 minutes.
There's not much else. No, really, I don't have a lot to say about this film other than the fact that it's pretty good. And that's, honestly, that's more than I can say about the rest of the other DCEU films. It's a good thing that this is a good film. And, God help that someone makes a good film nowadays.
So I know.
Go see it.
Right. No, I think, you're 100% right. I think these are what we're getting. These are the movies that are being made now, and it's either we see them and we engage with them or we ignore them.
If you want to be very brave, go see It Comes at Night.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
Maybe we'll talk about that in the upcoming weeks, because I'm not sure what's on the docket for the next month or so.
Okay.
Been kind of a weak summer so far, if we're being quite honest with ourselves.
Yeah.
But I don't know. We'll see. So there you go. Movie hopping gives Wonder Woman an enthusiastic meh.
And well, you're giving it the meh. I'm giving it like, 1.5 thumbs up.
Okay. That's some weird Siskel and Ebert shit right there.
I don't think they
did half and half though.
Well, fuck them. I'm doing half and half.
I don't think they did. I think they either did two, they did one, or they did one or two.
Was this going to confuse people?
I don't think they had that. Well, this is certainly, especially with Siskel and Ebert. This is.
Oh, no.
Oh, man. It's early. No. Let's never record this early again. Thank you for watching. I'm sorry for my sniffling. I think I'm getting sick. We soldier through for the good of the yes. program here.
Oh, yeah.
TooManyThoughtsMedia.com, TMT.media. Those are the two places that you can get this here show. You can subscribe to it on iTunes. There's an iTunes feed. I need to put that on the website, too. You can now subscribe to audio versions of this podcast if you don't want to watch us, which I don't blame you if that's the case. You can listen to our voices when you're working out or in the car or pleasuring yourself. Either one is totally fine, totally an acceptable form of use of this show.
I highly condone the latter.
Yeah. cool. This has been Movie Hopping. You don't have a Twitter yet, do you?
No.
I'm at Funny Nico Tweets. Tweet me there. Again, Too Many Thoughts is the family of programs. Nick Evangelista, Zach Caponegro, this man and myself have been working very hard to give you the content that you can use and abuse. TMT.media is where you find it all. Thanks for watching. And until next time, you want to do the catchphrase?
I don't remember the catchphrase.
Happy movie hopping.
Oh, yeah, happy movie hopping.
Oh, come on. It's not that bad.
Happy movie hopping.
Yeah.